G'day everybody. I'm just going live today, Australian's time, 1 o'clock. And we've this month's talk is, we've had a couple of good questions come through. One of them is just about a subject in itself, but I'll sort of go into detail, as much detail as I can on it. But the first question that we're going to be answering at this on this seminar is from a lady, Daylene. And she has an ex-endurance horse which has become very frightened at a bit. I won't read the question in detail, but I'll just explain it to you. She's got a horse that started running away from the bit. So basically what's happened is the mare's become very, gelding's become very reactive to the point of literally flying backwards to rein pressure. She's wanting to know if it's a fear response. All medical issues have been sorted out, which is always good because sometimes as a trainer, I get horses that, it's good to have all the other bases checked before you go and sort out the sort of emotional training issues in a horse. I'll keep going through the question. The groundwork, the horse has become more centered by slowing things down, and he's become calm, but not completely comfortable with requests. Under saddle is scary. I have tried the same, but it feels as if my ass has become so careful and tentative that it's almost sneaky. And that's the hardest thing, with horses that are extremely reactive and frightened of things is, at some stage you'll be riding and more pressure will come on the horse and they're going to be frightened. So yes, though you have to introduce pressure slowly, it's going to be a... Okay. So I'm going to go into that question in a second. And the other question for people who are coming on board, Megan's on there, is about... It's a subject that came up on the seven-part documentary, and it's about getting a horse to lighten up in the shoulders through engaging the hind quarter and becoming lighter in the front end. So that's something we'll be covering as well. So first of all, I'm going to cover the subject on this little endurance horse that's become very frightened of the bit. Now, I do come across quite a few endurance horses at clinics that have had similar problems, as in they become very frightened of the bit, and whether they're twisting and sort of getting away or throwing their head up in the air and things like that. Now, I've got no problems with people riding endurance and trail riding and things like that, but what I do have a problem is riding a horse for a long time in sort of quite emotional situations without education. So a lot of endurance horses that I come across, they tend to have the focus has been more on the fitness opposed to the understanding of all the aids and things like that. So once a horse is sort of broken in, they tend to go into training for fitness because people sort of think, oh well, I'm just following going along in sort of fairly straight lines and following tracks and so forth. So But what ends up happening is the horses start to feed off being in a big group and they don't have a clear understanding of our aids, so they're sort of quite frightened of our aids or because they've got a lack of understanding, the aids, as in the reins and leg aids and things like that, they're still, so especially rein aids, will feel like a trapdoor horse. And young horses that haven't had, quality training with the reins, when they get frightened, the reins are still a bit of a trap to them. So when you're riding in a sort of, a high adrenaline environment, so an endurance ride, can have hundreds of horses and one ride, there'll be quite a lot of horses leaving depending on the size of the endurance ride. So there's a lot of horses, a race-like environment, the horse gets all emotional and then people tend to hang on to them to sort of slow them up and then over time the banging on the bit and the not understanding the bit, that the horses can get worse, so they would have dealt with pain on the bit and things like that, but then basically the bit has become a trap and not not a tool to sort of guide their thoughts as such, more just to hold their intention back and just get in the way of their thoughts. So yeah, horses start to get very reactive to the bit, and depending on the on who's hanging on to the end of it is how reactive they're going to get. And Arabs, you know, they're very sort of, you know, I guess a highly strung and sensitive horse. So being sensitive, they're going to be more reactive. I've seen horses where people have hung onto their head all their life, and they just sort of knuckled down and almost just shut down to the pressure and zoned out to it in a respect. But I've seen a lot more Arabs that have become very, very troubled by the pressure. So how do we fix it? So if the horse is at a stage that you're taking up on the reins and the bit just touches its mouth and it runs backwards, then it's going to be very hard to bring pressure to your horse without that happening. What I would initially suggest is, in a halter, getting your horse used to leading again and backing again in a halter, and that can be done on the ground. Now, what I mean is, something I address at clinics a lot is in the reason why I don't sort of move a horse out away from pressure is because we tend to bypass the leading and the rein control that we need on the ground to get to build good rein control under saddle. So say for instance, something I do with a horse that's got quite a reactive head and mouth, I'd start to address it in the head before I addressed it in the mouth. So just putting a sort of a normal halter on, what I would do is I'd take the horse, you know, reasonably short, so there's only, you know, that much rope between, you know, my hand and the halter, okay? So I'd pick up a bit of feel, and I'd just pick up a bit of feel in there and just gently draw on the horse and just see what it does. And if it wriggles and fights when I draw on it and doesn't move forward, then I might just wait on that pressure until it sort of just releases and comes forward. Now, you know, it may not lower its head straight away, but if it moves its feet forward, that's good. And then I pick up the same feel in reverse and get the horse to back up a little bit. Now, if I put that pressure on to go either way and the horse had head fight just in a halter, then I know I'd be able to sort of work on that first. So I definitely work on quite a bit of pick up a feel. Now, if the horse is too reactive, as in you pick up a bit of close feel to it and it does this or pushes and things like that, especially when you want to lower it a bit and back it or lower it a bit and go forward, then what I would do is I would just pick up that feel and I just horse and let it wriggle in that feel, and then just till I see it relax a little bit, even if it doesn't completely give, I just get it to relax a little bit and just go, oh yeah, you've just to relax to that feel. And I'd continue that for a little while until the horse just, you pick up a bit of feel and it starts to lower and relax, and then lower and back up and relax, and lower and forward and relax. It's like a bit of a head hug. Imagine if, say for instance, the sort of principle that it'd feel like, what I'll explain to you is what I'm feeling in my hand. Could you imagine grabbing a lizard in your hand like that? If you had a lizard and it was wriggling around in your hand, you don't crush it with your hand. You just hold it just gentle and just firm gentle until it stops wriggling, and then you just release your hand like that. So that's the sort of feeling. Not that I want everyone to go and catch lizards and trap the lizards, but what you're feeling for is when that horse is wriggling and fighting, you're just holding it. You might go with it a little bit, with it, but you're not actually completely letting it go, and it's going to fight and it's going to do this. And then when you feel it just sort of relax and soften in the eyes and just give a little bit, then you're just going to release your hand and just say, there's that sweet spot in there. There's that sweet spot in there. And that's something they really need to know in the halter. Now, once they're sort of doing that, then the next stage I would do is provide just a little bit of extra stimulant, as in to make them go, oh, crikey, what's happening? And then I do the same squeeze until they release back up or come forward. So it's not just a lowering of their head, because ideally after they lower their head, I want them to lower their head and come forward. And there's a few videos that I'm going to put online of, you know, leading lessons and getting a horse to release under pressure. And you guys might have seen some of the videos where I wave a flag in front of the horse and I get it to lead. Well, that puts the same pressure on the horse, pulls back into that pressure because the flag's in front of it. And then when it realises the door's closed, it leans forward and comes off that pressure. So And you're going to do the similar sort of thing to horses that start to get trapped in the head and run off pressure. So you're going to pick up a bit of feel and you might just bang your leg or something like that, and that's the horse is going to go like this. And then you'll feel that same wriggle in your hand, and when the horse, you know, loosens, gives to the pressure a little bit, then you just release until basically you can increase the worry and even pop a flag and have your horse fairly close, and you can just lead it forward and it'll just loosen up and come forward. And this might take, you know, a series of lessons on a really extreme horse. But the idea is you should be able to walk that horse forwards or backwards and lower the head whilst it's walking forwards or backwards, and it just completely can give and release in that head pressure. And that's just with a holder before you even think about putting anything in its mouth. The other thing I'd probably do in an arena is I would actually ride the horse bitless for a while, because if the bit has become like, there's the opposite thing, which I come across at clinics, and it's the opposite but the same. So there's a few clients, and actually I think Joe, you're on there now at the moment. You know what this means because you've had the same problem in your horse. Is horses that go bridle lame. So basically, some horses are bridle lame because they sort of learn to give to pressure but not think to pressure. So they'll actually bend and hide from the bit and do all these things, but they don't actually interact with the idea of what the reins are asking it. They're just trying to get away from the pressure. And so basically what happens eventually when they're really bridle lame is they're just sort of going dull, and they're just going, I'm just trying to hide from that. And they might be bending that way, but their thoughts are still out there, so they're leaking that way. So those horses are what you would call bridle lame. Now, that's one extreme of when a horse has just had too much rein pressure, but they've been taught to bend and give so much so that they don't interact and interact with their task and things like that. And the idea of the positions of the reins and things become meaningless because the horse is just trying to get off the pressure. So that's bridle lameness. And I guess the horse here that's running away from the pressure, it's another version of bridle lameness, but it's reactive to the pressure, really reactive and frightened of it. So it's actually trying to escape the pressure instead of just bend and hide like this. So what I would actually do, and the horses that I've had that have been bridle lame, I've actually taken the bit out because they've been lame to the bit. And sometimes by going back to a side pull or a halter or something, the horse's different area, different response. So it triggers off the thought process again in slightly different way. And that's what I'd say before you go out on a trail or anything with this Arab, I'd in an arena or a yard or, you know, in a round yard or something, is after you've got the leading working really good, the horse can come around through pressure nice and things like that, and it's not fighting in the head pressure, then I'd actually start to ride it in the bit. Without the bit, I'd actually just ride it in the halter. And the idea is I'd put the same feel on. So something I do, Ebony hasn't dropped off her little horses, but if you can imagine, you can see that, I'll try to get that picture just there, okay. You can see, I'll try and get that picture off the wall actually. So I just got that there, try and get it out of the glare. So what I'm going to do, can you see that? Something what I do with horses, you can see just there, just behind the pole there, something I do when I give a horse a head hug, and I do it with horses that have become frightened of the bit, as in every time you pick up the reins, they're moving their feet or they're trying to get away from it. So what I do is I do a bit of a head hug. So a head hug is where I take my hands out of a position that's like a position that I commonly ride in, and I make the rein come from that angle up to there, and I just gently squeeze the reins up just behind the pole as far as I can reach up the horse's neck, and I just squeeze and I draw the reins up so it gently touches their mouth. Now that was if I was doing it in a bit, and it just gently hugs their head. And I just wait there until they sort of wriggle and they'll back up and they'll move around, and then as soon as I feel them just relax and go, oh, I don't have to do anything, then I just release the pressure. Then I just keep doing it. Every time the horse chews too much or gets a bit anxious, I give them a bit of a head hug like that. Now, that would be the same as if you were in the halter when the horse, you know, you pick up on the feel, and if the horse is a bit reactive, you just go up, just get the reins and just gently squeeze. So it just squeezes on the side of their neck, gently squeezes around their nose if they're in a holder, and just puts a little bit of facial pressure on them, and they go, oh, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to escape. And then when they just go, oh, that's okay, and relax a bit, then you release the pressure. So when you pick up on the reins, the horse may be slightly dull to start with, but it's better than being really reactive when you pick up on the pressure, so you can slowly build accuracy so the horse is not actually frightened of the pressure. So yeah, with that Arab, I definitely go to going to a halter for a while first and getting the horse doing its soft backing, its soft forward, soft steering. So then it's doing all its basics in a halter at ease. So what I do is I just, you know, what you've shown it on the ground. So first I'd pick up the reins, cuddle it a little bit so it stops wriggling. And then once it stopped wriggling, I might draw the reins and just get it to back off of the reins. So I might pick up a bit of feel. And the idea when I pick up a bit of feel, I just get my pretend rope here. So what I do is like if I, that's not heavy enough, but I'll get a heavier one. So this is a bit heavier. So imagine that's your rein, okay? That's the droop rein, yeah? So you're gonna pick up on the reins. This is the horse. Now what I tend to do is I'll pick up feel until I can just feel that connective feel on the horse, just a little bit of feel. Now, what a lot of horses do that don't understand, they'll do the rest. They'll actually do that. They'll push into the feel like that, and they'll test it like that. So remember, this is the horse, this is the rider, okay? So I'll pick up a bit of feel, and I'll just get to the point where it could create a thought in a horse, but it's not pressure. And generally when the horse feels it, they're either going to push or they're going to release a little bit and back off that. So what I'll do is I'll wait for them, and if they push, that's when I set and I hold. And then they'll push and they'll go, I can't get through that. And they might decide to back off that a little bit, yeah? So instead of just pulling on the horse and trying to maul it backwards, I'm actually just picking up a feel, letting the horse do the rest. They'll bump, they'll push, and then they might just find their way off it, okay? Now, I'll let it, if it's a very reactive horse, I just do that for a little while, pick up a bit of feel, let the horse push and wriggle. So it's like it went up to a fence and tested it a few times. But it knows that it's not going to get through the fence because the fence is set. If it's reacting too much and you get frightened, you obviously have to give. And if you give, just steer your horse off in a new direction. So that's something, you know, once you've done that pressure on the ground, the horse should be able to cope with that little bit of rein pressure to back off. Now, if you just touch the reins and it's running backwards, then that's why something you want to do on the ground is a lot of walking, bending towards you, moving and bending towards you. So the horse really bends into its turns. So if your horse is reacting still in the holder and running backwards a bit, then you're just going to take a very wide lateral rein, especially on a horse that runs backwards, and get it to bend and look and just get it to turn out of the back up. So it might just turn around that way, and then you loosen up and let it walk forward. And then you might find another spot, pick up two reins, and the horse is going to get a fright. If it's going to run backwards, then just pick up a big bend on your horse, turn it in a new direction. So that'll get the feet moving forward and generally take it out of the back up. But if you've done a fair bit of groundwork in the holder, you'd probably be okay. Once the horse is starting to sort of realise that actually running backwards didn't get away with anything, and if it gets to a point that the running backwards just becomes a bit of a shuffle back and not a run back, then you might just pick up and hold the feel a little bit, that head hug, and just till the horse walks backwards, and then it might just stop its feet and stop going back, and then you release the head hug on it, and it's going to go, oh, running backwards, actually relaxing was what released the pressure, not just running backwards. And that's an, you know, what you got to think of. If the horse just pushes, then you can set and just back it off and release and just reward the backup in increments. But as I say, if the horse does just start plowing backwards and getting really frightened, turn the horse, take it out of that, reset it, try again. But if they get to a stage that they're not running backwards, but they're still backing up in a bit of anticipation, then you might be able to just hold the head hug till they eventually go, oh, well, maybe backing's not going to get me anywhere. But that means you've got to have a fair bit of room behind you, because the horse might back 10 metres And you just hold the pressure a little bit until it relaxes, and then you just stop. And that's why the head hug up high is the one I do when the horse is backing up too fast. So you can apply pressure, but it's sort of a meaningless pressure. It's just the pressure on the horse that says don't get frightened with the pressure. So you, once that's all done in the halter, and the horse can do all the stuff in the halter, and it gets calm with head pressure, then you can reintroduce the bit. Now, what I would probably do in the bit is I'd just have the bit in its mouth, and I would just ride it, do all the things I want in a halter while the bit's in its mouth. And then on the ground, once I wanted to introduce the bit, I'd start to just stand beside the horse, and I'd just pick up a little bit of rein pressure just underneath its neck. So just between there and there, I'd hold my hand in there, and just grab the two reins and just put a little bit of feel on the horse, and just enough feel to get it talking. And if it wriggles and fights, I just stay with the feel. And then when it just sort of relaxes, I just release. But it's only just a touch, just to get it to used to the touching's okay. Okay. And I do that on the ground. And then when the horse can just relax that little bit of feel, and I push a little bit to say back up. And as soon as that horse finds and searches into that backup, I just release my hand and say, you know, that's all I want. And then I would just get it to steer towards me a little bit, get a bend and get it bending towards me, get it to walk a little bit into the bend while I'm standing one side, and then I'll do that on the other side. And then I pick up a bit of feel again, and the horse would wriggle a little bit. While it's wriggling, I'd just hold the feel. When it stops wriggling, I'd lighten a bit. And then I'd say, pick up feel, wriggles a bit, stop wriggling, lighten a bit. And then when I can pick up a little bit of feel, just a tiny, tiny touch, not a lot, without it wriggling, then I'd say, now back up. And put a bit more pressure on to say back up. So I want the horse to feel a bit more pressure when it backs up, not just back up off the lightest touch. And then once the horse is not frightened, then you can work out an agreement how much pressure you want to do things. Generally, it's not going to be a lot of pressure, but it's not going to be, just the tiniest touch gets it frightened. So yeah, hopefully that gives you a hand. But when your horse is running backwards and you feel unsafe, take a big open rein to just turn it off balance the back up a little bit and turn it in a new direction. Soon as it does that, loosen up, and you know, if that gets you out of trouble. But yeah, it's going to be a long process, and going back through the halter, head pressure, all those things, and then back into the bit, reintroducing it, you're probably going to have some success. It's just, you're going to create a new habit that overrides the old memory and the old habit, and that new habit will become, you know, you'll do it, I don't know how many thousand times, good transitions into that new habit will become the habit, and eventually the fear will go away. So yeah, if there's any, let me know on the progress with that one though, because it always is a bit of a scary thing when they're at that reactive with pressure. So next I'm going to talk about lightening up the shoulders. So lightening up the shoulders has to happen through a certain amount of hindquarter engagement. So Megan asked me about that one, and it is a really good subject. So I'm going to start everybody with why we do groundwork in certain ways. If you work your horse like it, now I don't want to criticize cart horses, but what I mean is, if you just worked your horse on the ground like it was just going to go and plow the paddock and walk along, and then the horse is just going to push off and go forward. Now you can't sort of expect to sort of later on train your horse to collect if for the first 2 or 3 years or 1 year of its riding, you've just ridden it and just sort of thought, oh, I'm just going to get my young horse just going and moving and steering a bit. And when I do my groundwork, I'm just going to lunge it around a bit, and then I'm going to sort of get on and ride it and hope that one day that I can sort of dream about collection. I think if you take that sort of, you know, approach, then your horse is going to get used to being ridden in a certain way, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, hang on a minute, now we want to change the way you carry yourself, change the way you think about certain things. So I believe it's very important whether you're handling a foal, anything like that, to have in mind that softening of the body, softening up when they pick up the reins, and picking up the shoulders, you know, putting the hind end underneath it, so it's all one thing. Now, a lot of people talk about the horse collects from behind, as in the hindquarter has to engage, and I think some people often think that it's got to all come from the hindquarter, you know, and that's what's going to make it all happen. And when I started doing clinics and helping people with horses, there was something I did see a lot of in groundwork, and that was horses get sent around and the hindquarter was disengaged quite a lot. And a lot of horses I come across that's done a fair bit of horsemanship, the hindquarter yield or the disengagement more so, I think it's been more so disengagement of the hindquarter than a hindquarter yield I see a lot on the ground. So there's a lot of horses that I come across that are traveling heavy on their shoulders when they're working around us. Now, if you start your young horses like that, then they're going to start riding like that. Then you've got to fix all that. So when you go back to halter training your horses and things like that, the loosening starts in the thoughts first. So you know, when you first halter break your horses, when you get them to bend and look for you and things like that, where you're standing and where you're drawing them to encourages them to naturally want to move their body in a certain way to collect and lighten up their shoulders. So what happens with the youngsters, instead of pushing their hips out so much to get them to face me, because if I don't do it right, and if I don't teach people what to look for, well, I could do it, but I know what I'm looking for, but if I taught people to do it and I didn't tell them what to look for, then they could potentially make their horses heavy in the shoulders by the way they were just holder breaking them. So starting from the holder breaking process, we want to look at a horse and go, okay, I want my horse to think through a lead, soften and loosen. As soon as they soften and loosen there, they loosen up through their neck. Once they loosen up through their neck, they're going to loosen up through their shoulders, okay? So once they can look through a bit of a rope, then what you do with the next movement either will encourage them to sort of engage their hindquarter and pick up their shoulders, or push their shoulders down and move their hindquarter. So if you draw and put a bit of feel and draw and get them to want to follow you like your mum, or you know, you're a friend of theirs, then, and you've got the bend on them at a certain angle, say the horse was facing this way and you're coming off at that angle, so you want them to bend like that, then they're going to look around and they're going to go, oh, I might just reach out and step over there and want to follow you. Because when a horse wants to follow, it loosens up naturally through the shoulders, because it's a desire to sort of loosen up and push, pick up the shoulders by keeping the hind engaged and just step across. Now, the foals can do it without being taught it. So when you handle your youngsters, it's very important that you soften them from the front all the way through. So I won't do hindquarter yields on a young horse until I've got the shoulders loose and soft. So I'll do a lot of little come towards me so they can draw back a little bit and open up their shoulders and step across and draw, step across, and they step across like that. And it's in their best interest. And they do it before they've even taught to back up. They'll just go, oh, well, I'll just rock back and move my shoulders because I want to follow you. So when a horse wants to follow, it generally wants to move its shoulders towards the direction that it wants to go. So depending on the angle, as in if you walk off at a 45-degree angle away from your horse, and your horse is going to want to, you know, do that and just roll over like that. But if you walk off at this angle, pull your horse like that, and then it's just going to push off like that, and it's not going to, you know, engage. But if I come back to here and I walk off at that angle, see that? I'm going to draw the horse's bend, and then what's going to happen? It's going to come around the hindquarter like that. So when the youngsters, when they can look, you're trying to draw them so they turn a bit tighter all the time and they can roll over their hocks nice and easy. And it becomes a natural thing for them to do, and they find it very easy. When they follow with the feel of a very open rein, they'll tend to want to lighten up naturally first, and that's going to be their desire when you start to put the tighter turns on. So that's one way to get those shoulders lightened up, by the horse's desire to just naturally want to engage their hindquarters, and that comes from the handling process. So once a horse can do all that, then I might do hindquarter yields. But by that time, the shoulders are loose and soft, so they travel softly and they keep moving. So when I do a hindquarter yield, the shoulders maintain this nice loose movement, and then the hindquarter just will step out. Whereas if you've got a young horse that's still a bit braced and not sure, and you push that hind out, you'll crowd those shoulders down, and then the hind quarter will lighten up and spin out, but all the weight will transfer straight down on those shoulders, and generally they'll stop and pivot on those shoulders. And that just teaches them a lot of times from a rein that you're pulling this way to move the hind out that way to crowd those shoulders. So when you're training young ones, how you hold a breaking is going to really start the process of lightening up those shoulders naturally. And so on the ground, we're teaching them to think through the rein, and the angle of the rein encourages them to want to turn. So I can tell generally on a horse by the shape of its eye if it's going to move its shoulders or it's going to move its hips. Now, people go, well, how do you see that? It's like, well, if you've got a soft draw eye that's drawn to you, a horse will generally loosen up and move its shoulders. If you've got a tight eye and a tight side of its face, the horse will generally look at you like you're something worried, so it will tend to push the shoulders down and step the hips out. Because remember, when a horse wants to face something that it's worried about, it's going to push the shoulders down, move the hips out and go, what was that? But when it wants to follow its mum, it's going to go, where's mum going? And it's going to go, where did those shoulders going? So groundwork, how you interact with your horses, how you draw rein, how you draw them to you, loosen from the front, work your way through the shoulders, and then get to the hind quarter. I tend to leave the hind quarter till last. Well, because in the scheme of things, the rope's connected to the head, which is the start, and then you work all the way back to the tail. So good backups. So basically, we want to teach our horses on the ground under saddle how to back up very, very good, as in the horse should be soft in the backup. Meaning soft, I mean the horse should feel good about the backup, and when you back it up, it should go, I'm backing myself, I'm not just moving away from bit pressure, I'm not just running backwards away from bit pressure, or nose pressure, whatever you're riding in, I'm just comfortable. Now, what I feel for, and I try and do this, so a lot of people come to my clinics and they bump their horses back and they taught them to bend, but they can't feel the reins under their bottom. And so I sort of say, okay, well, stop bumping your horse back and get it to hide in the front. Let's pick up on the reins so you can feel the reins under your bottom. So what you're looking for in the groundwork with your foals and then your ones that you're ready to break in, if you want to be thorough, is when you pick up the back up, they loosen and you feel them loosen. And as they loosen, you can actually see the whole body just loosen and relax and prepare to back up, as in, it's just the when the horse is bending into the hand, the whole horse is just relaxing and preparing to back up. Okay, so the hind quarter will just, the shoulders, the back, everything will loosen. Hind quarter will come underneath and just back up softly. If the horse goes bend, brace a bit in the shoulders, and then bump, 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 and does got all those rigid braces, and the feet aren't in a nice two-beat trot rhythm, like the diagonal rhythm that they should in the back up, then you're going to have a resistance in the reins that's going to come out along the way. So with a really good backup, so what I encourage people to do in their backup, whether it be on the ground and under saddle, is do a backup. It's like a grandpa, like I show people the grandpa walk. So first I teach a soft backup by doing transitions. The reason I do transitions is because once the transition is soft, the backup can improve. When the transition is rigid and tight, then the backup is going to have problems. And a lot of horses in the backup, they go with their hips like that. Now, a lot of times, because people are sort of taking the brace out and then they're just backing their horse up. Now, if you draw, loosen, back up, draw, loosen, back up, and then once the horse can find the backup really comfortable, as in, then what will happen is you just do it in transitions and the backup will eventually get nice and straight because you haven't asked the horse to back too far. So it only backs a step, and before it's had a chance to wriggle out like this, it stopped. And then you ask again, and you might get five or six straight transitions where the horse just goes straight like that. And then after a while, they'll start to back themselves up. So the other thing that doesn't, so the backup alone sometimes doesn't fix some horses, and there's horses at clinics that trudge back in their feet and they don't pick up their body, they don't pick up their shoulders when they back up. So those horses require a little bit different treatment. But before I get to that, I'm just going to show you something here. So that line on the bottom,
yeah,
is the stop. Okay. Now that hill is the speed of the backup. Okay. Okay, one, two. So you start at one, for instance. So once the horse is doing nice soft transitions, then basically, you know, that part of the hill where one is, I've got to go to that side and put up where one is there. That part of the hill there might be a real slow backup, okay? Now, really slow grandpa backup just before the stop. Now, remember the flat line is the stop, okay? That's the standstill. So then what you do is you're taking your horse up to one there, and you might just say grandpa, grandpa, and then back to the stop. So you just climb the hill, up the hill a bit, up the hill a bit, and then you come back down. You go up the hill a bit and then back down. Up the hill a bit, then back down. And then once a horse can do that grandpa, then you say, go up the hill a bit further. So what you're going to do is you're going to go up the hill to there. But instead of just dropping the horse from there down, you go back down the hill. So it means you go back up, speed up a little bit, and then you just slow down a little bit till the horse goes back to a stop. Okay. So then there's a point here which is probably the horse's fastest backup, but the hill will get bigger as the horse gets better. You don't want to put it over a fast backup. Then when the horse can do that little transition soft up to the sort of the grandpa slow, you know, the really slow backup, and then you can go up a bit faster and bring the horse back down again. And then you go right up to the fastest backup, and then you come back down the backup, back to the stop. So what I'm saying is you're going back slow, back medium, back fast, back medium, back slow, back stop. So the horse doesn't just drop into the stop, it just goes like that. So it slows down comfortable and it speeds up comfortable. It slows down comfortable, so you can put any amount of control into that backup that you want, just through the feel of the reins and the draw on the reins. So that's one thing that you've got to sort of look in, and that'll get them real comfortable in the backup. The other thing I'd like to sort of say as well is the horses that are naturally like this sort of just trudgy, you know, the heavier sort of colder breeds that are just like, yeah, I'll just back up and I'll just move my feet and shuffle and I won't put any effort. And you can draw more on the reins and they'll just shuffle more and they're just not going to pick up their feet. With those horses, I show them that pick up feel when they lean. I'll set on the reins, but I'll put a bit of spring in my set so they go, oh, I might back off that, and I'll just do that a few times. And when they know they can't push it, like maybe more than a few, maybe five or six or seven times. And once they know that they don't push through it, then I'll pick up on the light feel, like just a tiny bit. So just sort of saying, there's the boundary. And then I'll say energy, energy, energy with my legs. And they'll go, oh, energy, I'll push. And when they push, I'll just draw and just bounce them back off, because I've already taught them prior to the energy that you will bounce off the reins. But I'm not worried about the shuffle that they're doing with their feet and no energy in the feet. I'm just worrying about them learning not to push through the reins. So then I'll do that again, pick up a little bit of light, tiny feel, like the weight of the reins, to say, well, if you were to push the boundaries just there. And so what's happening is this one with my fingers, the horse, this is the reins, yeah? So into the middle of the camera. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up. Oh, I'll get my reins shorter. Pick up, get them shorter again. So I'm going to pick up a feel. And the horse knows that if it was to pull, oh, that's how far it can pull, yeah? So then what's going to happen, I'm going to pick up a bit of feel, and then I'm going to make some energy, and the horse is going to go push like that. Firstly, it's going to push, and then I set on the reins, and then it's going to just bounce back off the reins a little bit and just back off a little bit. And I'll pick up a bit of feel. I'll ask for some energy. The horse will push, and then it'll back off. And then what that does is it gets the horse to lift and use a bit of energy to move forward. And then what will happen, after a while, you pick up a bit of feel, the horse will prepare for energy and it will lift itself up. And oftentimes you won't have to add your legs, because the horse is preparing to move and it'll lift and then it'll back up. And obviously when that horse moves back off the reins, don't keep kicking it. You only ask for energy to get it to go energized. As soon as you feel that horse energizing, you take your legs off and let it find its way into the reins or draw back off the reins. Now, you don't want to be too hard to make them run away from the reins. It's just to tell them to pick up, loosen up and back up. And in a lot of cases, the horses will pick up and then draw back like that. And they start to pick up their body a bit more when they back up. So you need a horse to pick up its body when you pick up the reins. So when you pick up that feel, the horse picks up its body a little bit. And that's something that's important as well in teaching your horses. And that's still involved in the backup. So it's a long process, this lightening up the shoulders. But if you start that your horse is a performance horse when it's a foal, as in it moves and lightens its body when it takes the feel of a rein and things like that, and turns, then you know it's going to be good. It's going to be good for the horse. So that's why I don't tend to stand there and do a heap of lateral flexion on my youngsters, because I want that bend and make them, as they're bending, to be picking their body up and saying, I might do this, or I might do this, or I might move my hind. So the reins are directly connected to their body, opposed to just bend until, you know, then. So once you've worked on the backups and you've got different, you know, the good quality backup where the horse doesn't get worried in, then what we're going to sort of work on is understanding little things like, so this whole low and relax that people go on about to get the top line really, you know, soft is, you know, it's important in a horse that's been hollow all its life and running into the reins and didn't understand anything, it's to let go of all that tension. But a young horse, you don't have to necessarily let go low and relax if they just are relaxed and they understand the reins and things like that, because their top line will naturally be soft because you've never taught them in a bad way, I suppose. So they'll just sometimes just find that nice balance. I'm calm. I'll just carry my head where I'm comfortable. Now, low and relax you don't have to go down the low and relax to bring them back up again to get collection. If the horse is naturally light and soft through the body from a youngster, and calm in the mind and have a good headset, as in mindset. So then this is all stuff at a walk too. So the horse learns that when you take up on the reins, it picks up shoulders, it engages its hind because you're going to do something that requires that. So when I'm riding my young ones, I've done that little back up, and there's a good exercise I do on the ground is back up. And then I walk the horse towards me on a 45 degree so it turns back over its hocks. So same as I was talking before about the foals. Then what I'll do is I'll go, okay, when I ride, I'll say, pick up the reins. And then I'll just take an open rein and say, let's walk on out over there. And I'll pick up the reins. So the horse will rock back and they'll feel the reins under my bottom and draw back and take an open rein and just let the horse open up with the shoulders over there. Now, if it's been taught that on the ground, they've learned it fairly easy under saddle. And they'll just keep doing that one, just pick up and draw over there. So they pick up the reins, they pick up their body, the shoulders become loose and available. Take an open rein and they'll just reach out with nice loose open shoulders and step across. So that's like a build up to a rollback or a spin or something like that, or a turn on the hind quarter in dressage. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it goes backwards first or because later on when that horse can pick up its shoulders and they become available and the responsibility is not on you to engage the horse's hind quarter, the horce just engages its hind quarter, then once the responsibility of the horse is to engage the hind quarter and loosen up in those shoulders and they become available to move, then you just got to steer their thoughts where you want them to go, whether it be a little bit forward, a little bit more left, a little bit back and left, right, doesn't matter. You just guide that thought and the horse will do a forward step like this or reach back and step across and out like that, depending if you want to roll back or turn on the hindquarter. So I'm not really concerned. What I'm more concerned about is the horse picks its body up. So back to the back up. When you pick up on the reins, by that time, your horse should pick up and round and you'll feel the whole body of the horse loosen and then prepare to back up. loosen compared to back up. And once you feel that loosening of the body, you'll actually feel the horse is pushing under your hind. So when you pick up on the reins, as soon as that pole jaw starts to loosen, the same time as that's loosening, you'll feel the horse loosening up and pushing your bottom up. So once you can start to feel the horse's back in the back up, as in when you squeeze the reins, you feel it under your bottom, then what will happen is the shoulders are automatically becoming available to lighten up and open up. So that's just building habits, that reins mean engage your mind, engage your body and prepare. And how you prepare them from a foal will determine how they're going to move their body. Instead of thinking, you know, riding them like this for 3 years and then going, oh, by the way, now we're going to sort of step up a little bit. Now, teaching a young horse just to sort of to pick its body up is not going to hurt it. Backing them too far when they're young, as you know, if you're riding a young horse and things like that can make them sore. So that's why I say transition, thank you, to the transition to stuff. And as the horse builds strength, you're going to draw more into the backing a little bit further until it becomes a good habit. So just keeping on the time, I'm just sort of going, we could probably do a little bit more of this subject. So going from there, the next exercises that are really good to free up the hindquarter and get the hindquarter stepping underneath more and you know, more underneath the rib cage and things like that is, once my horse is soft and turning a nice turn and opening up to an open rein and things like that, then another exercise that's really good is just picking up an indirect rein to getting the horse to move its hips across, so it's a hindquarter yield, just through the start of the indirect rein. So what will happen is when the horse gets good to that indirect rein, you'll just be able to pick up the indirect rein and the inside hind foot will just step underneath the ribs and step out a little bit. So it'll extend that step underneath the ribs, a bit like what a shoulder in would look like. It's just like one step into a shoulder in sort of thing. And then eventually you can use the indirect rein just to do a shoulder in. And that gets that horse to really step underneath its ribs like that underneath. So sometimes when you're preparing it for a turn, you can say, step that hind foot deeper underneath the ribs and then open up the shoulders and step back over here. But just in the case of getting a horse to loosen up in the shoulders, that's what the question was more about. So the grandpa back up into the faster back up, back into the grandpa back up. Now the grandpa walk, I shouldn't say grandpa, grandma, slow walk, texting teenager walk, doesn't matter. Actually, I think the texting teenager walk is slower than the grandpa walk, because people in that era were taught to walk fast and get the job done, where the modern day texting teenager walk is very, very slow. So if you can get your horse to do that walk, so that walk, it's been, what I've noticed in that walk, why I do that walk and why I get people to do this, for a lot of different reasons I do it, but for this particular reason, as in loosening the horse up and preparing, it teaches them to loosen up and collect that a bit softly. So when you get a horse to walk really, really slow, so you've got to a stage that when you pick the horse up, it backs up and it rounds its body. And when it gets real comfortable, it won't just boom back like that, it'll round its body and slow a little bit. So you're walking at a normal medium walk, for instance, and you pick up on the reins and your horse goes, okay, I'm rounding my body, I'm preparing, but you pick up on the reins in a certain way that it'll just slow down. And when you find the walk that the horse is just about to stop in, as in it'll get a bit wobbly like this because if the horse can't stop and you lighten up again and say, no, keep moving just above the stop, it'll wobble a little bit and then it'll find this walk and it'll be really, really slow, like a crawl. So if you get them to hover over the stop and then loosen up, hover over the stop, loosen up. And when you loosen up, you just loosen everything up, lighten the reins a little bit, but don't give a heap of rein to them all the time, just maybe let them out a bit. The horse will go, and it'll loosen up and just crawl. And it's been, what I've observed with people doing this and teaching people to do this, what happens is the horse will come back, prepare for the backup, and then you just loosen up that moment just before the horse stops. And then they'll just hold that and they'll just loosen. And as you loosen the reins and ask them forward, they just go loose and go forward. And a lot of them, what I've seen is they keep picking up their back and they track this really slow walk, but their hind feet come a long way underneath them. And you're not kicking them forward, you're just letting them go a little bit. And then what will happen when the horse gets really good at it, you say, here's the slow walk, loosen up, and you'll just say, this is where I'm staying in the slow walk. What about you? And the horse will go, well, I won't stay there with you. And they'll just crawl without a lot of pressure on, and I'll keep crawling. But a lot of times I'll hold that shape that they've sort of, that they're coming back into when you were slowing them down. And then you can say, now you hold that shape, and you might pick up the reins again and say, walk into the medium walk. And that will teach them just around and then carry through a little bit better. And that's just to hold that bit of collection that they get. Now, obviously, I haven't gone down into the whole long and low thing. The long and low thing, I believe, is it's very good in getting a horse to release tension and relax. But I tend to do it more on horses that have had re-education horses. So bringing them back to ground zero and saying, okay, now get all that tension out of you, relax, carry me, and don't have your thoughts far away, and just relax. And what they'll do is they'll start to find the ground. The more tension and the longer the horse has been carrying tension and been upset about being ridden and tight and frightened, the more extreme the long and low bit sometimes is for those horses, and when they put their head down and stuff like that. Once they find that nice and relaxed, comfortable sort of spot, then you can do all the same things that I've been talking about in the progression. Now, carrying through to your faster gears. And back to the open rein. So the reason I was saying back up, open rein, after a while, the horse will realize when you open that rein, it's to think and step over there. So when you're riding, say for instance, you know, my hands are just off the horse's neck. If I just draw a steering rein like that, okay, that it's off the neck, and I draw it towards my thigh, then I want my horse just to bend, and I lighten that a bit and follow the bend in a circle. So if the thoughts go, the bend, the neck, and the shoulders and everything follow like that. You know, they follow around like that, nice and smooth. Now, if I just want to do a circle, I'm not going to take my hand way out there and say, just do a circle, because that rein there, when I take and open that rein, once my horse knows how to back up and it's soft, then this rein that I open up out here should mean look and really turn, which means without backing your horse and without an outside rein, so I should be able to have that outside rein forward, no pressure on it, and just take that rein out like that. And that horse will go, I'm going to look back, engage my own hind quarter, open up my shoulders and step across. Shouldn't be me there to support the horse all the time. So once the horse really understands the rein positions, and when you open a rein, it naturally engages to step across, then it becomes a lot easier to do things. So it'll, when you do a tight turn, the horse will naturally loosen up in the shoulders, because that's all you've ever taught it. Tight turns mean you engage your hind quarter. When you're a foal, when I draw an open rein, you would look and loosen up those shoulders and step across. And that really gets into them, so they understand it. But when I'm riding in a normal rein, just a steering direct rein, then you'll just follow that around there. And then they understand that really, really well. So when you're getting to your trotting and stuff like that, you can do tight turns and stuff where the horse will just take its hind underneath it, move the shoulders across and move in a new direction. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, so what I was talking about in the walk, that will carry through to the trot and then the canter. But everything I do is, say for instance, if your horse is falling on the forehand in the trot, falling on the forehand in the canter, then bring it back to the transition. The transition where you've drawn it back and it's thinking back and it lifts itself up to step forward again. Okay, so if the horse falls into a canter, you bring it back slower, so the horse just springs into canter. And if the horse canters three strides and then suddenly falls on its shoulders and just plows around like this, then you just gently bring it back, and then you just bring it to canter, and don't let it canter for too long and play all around. You just get a nice soft transition. And if you work on a nice soft transition, generally the softer and the calmer the transition up to canter, and the slower you go, so you bring it back to a slow jog and up to canter, the horse will lift and then hold that lift for longer. And instead of just going play all around, it'll prepare to come back again, and then you get up, and then soon they'll carry a little bit further and a bit further in the canter. Instead of trying to bump them back and bring them up and back and back and bring them up all the time, you just bring them back down and step up the transition a little bit. But that's about probably enough to give you a few ideas on getting those shoulders lightened up. There's probably lots of other exercises you can do, but basically that just back up and open up those shoulders is a really good exercise. And once you can feel those reins through your body and your horse is loose and calm, then the shoulders will have no problem, because that'll be the habit. The horse will naturally carry itself collected, because that's what it's, only ever known. Tammy, it looks like you've just got a question there. Any advice to help with a nervous rider? I'm always nervous, but my horse has never. Okay. With that question, Tammy, what I do, well, it's hard, there's a lot of things, but one thing I do when I'm riding and I'm nervous, because I ride nervous as well, because I've trained a lot of horses and I've been in a lot of situations that I don't want to revisit. So I'm probably a little bit more nervous than I used to be, I guess, because I know what can happen, I suppose, and the worst that can happen. Is give yourself a task. Keep your focus close. So if you're riding your horse and you're riding in the arena, don't look at the end of the arena. Don't worry about the end of the arena. Just worry about the 2 or 3 meters that you've got to get in front of you. So you might, everything has a change in circus, the arena's got little potholes and stuff. There's changes in the sand. There's little things that you can see along the way. There's weeds. There's little rocks. There's all sorts of things that are in your immediate focus, as in 2 meters in front of your horse. What I say is, I say focus not ahead and pick your head up and look up ahead where you want to get to. Look where you're going to get to in the next 2 meters. And what that does is it narrows down your expectations. And if you get from here to the next 2 meters away, it's only going to take you a couple of seconds, but you're going, oh phew, I've got there. And then you go again, 2 meters, got there. And you just keep riding around, keeping your focus down here where you want to get to, not about where you're going to end up. You see, if things go wrong, or and when you look over the horizon somewhere, you look over the horizon, you go, crikey, that's a big long open flat down there that a horse could bolt on. When your vision's more close and looking 2 meters in front of you, then you'll find that you won't be so worried about that. And there's lots of other things you can do, but just in riding, just that sets you a little task. I've only got to go 2 meters, and then I'll go another 2 meters, another two. It's not like you're stopping all the time. You're just resetting your little 2 meter destination every 2 meters or something, and that just gives you more confidence, because the more you get to your little destination, the more you go, oh, phew, I got there. Whereas if your destination is a kilometre away, it's one, oh, phew, I got there over a kilometre, which is not a lot of pats on the back for your confidence. So set your tasks smaller. Keep your mind a little bit busy by just giving yourself something to follow and do. Now, obviously, this goes against the grain when I just get people to sit on their horses and just let them cruise around and things like that. But this is more just for you, being more focused to where you want to go. There's so many other things you can do, just hanging around your horse and getting on and off it, on and off it, on and off it, on and off it from both sides, and on, off, move, get off it, get on it, move it, get off it, and just do a lot of that stuff, and that'll build your confidence too, instead of just thinking you got to get on and ride around all the time. And then when you work on your trots and everything like that, instead of working on a big trot transition, not knowing what you're going to get, work on your walk transition, grandpa, up to your fast walk, back to your grandpa, until that's really smooth. And then when you walk up, you're not asking your horse to trot. You just go, walk faster, thank you, walk faster, thank you, walk faster, thank you. Then when your horse gets to the fastest walk it can do, it'll start to go, oh, this is the spot where I would probably trot. And when your horse thinks trot, you just relax. And then the horse will just drift into trot without any pressure on. But when you think, I've got to do a trot now, you tend to go, I'm going to kick you and you're going to trot. Whereas I don't think that. I just go, well, I don't do nervous horses and nervous people. I say, I don't try and not make them think that. I go, I'm just asking you to walk faster. Cool. You walked a bit faster. Thank you. Walk faster again. Cool. You're walking faster again. Walk faster again. Now, you're doing a real fast walk now, aren't you? Good. And then I might just back the horse off a few times until that horse goes, well, I'd like to trot now, but I'm not worried. Then you go, well, walk faster. And then when you think trot, I'm going to relax. So when the feet trot, there's no pressure on that horse, and then the horse will trot. And that's another way you can sort of help get your confidence in your transitions. Same with canter, you know, you might, but with the canter, I'd be working on trot and walk and trot and walk until your horse is really good at moving forward off your legs, and then I'd actually get the horse to canter from a slower speed, not the fastest speed. But yeah, hope those little ideas help. Thanks everyone for coming on board for that. We've just tipped over an hour, so I might leave it there for today. Now, don't be afraid every now and again to, if you've got any subjects you'd like to talk about and me to talk about, just post them online and we'll sort of keep a note of them. And yeah, we can certainly do that as a subject. But yeah, thanks for coming on board, everyone. And I'll see you next time.